May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Please sit. How are the epistle and the gospel readings this Sunday morning linked? Why have the compilers of the lectionary chosen to put them together for today? Well, the first verse of our epistle reading gives us a clue. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, writes that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Who exactly were the Gentiles? Well, anyone who wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. You will remember from the Old Testament that the Israelite nation, the Jews, were God's chosen people. In our women's Bible study on Wednesday afternoons, we are looking at the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. As we read each chapter, we are continuously reminded that God sent Moses to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. Moses was to take them to the promised land, the land that God was giving them, the land flowing with milk and honey. However, this land was already occupied, so before the Jews could possess the land, they had to drive out the nations that were already living there. One of the nations that was driven out were the Canaanites. So there was a long history of animosity between the Jews and the Canaanites. Remember this fact when I speak a little later about our gospel reading, where the main character interacting with Jesus is a Canaanite woman. In our epistle reading, Paul uses the metaphor of an olive tree to represent the Jewish nation. Some of the natural branches have broken off the tree. These broken branches are those Jews who don't believe Jesus' claim that he is their long-awaited Messiah. However, the Gentiles are receptive to Jesus, so Paul likens them to wild olive shoots which have been grafted onto the cultivated olive tree. In the chapter before this morning's gospel reading, Matthew tells us that John the Baptist has been beheaded. At the beginning of this chapter, the Pharisees have accused Jesus' disciples of breaching the Jewish laws of purity by not washing their hands before they ate. So Jesus is really feeling the pressure of the opposition against him. At times like these, he withdrew from the crowds, sometimes by himself to pray, at other times with his disciples. This time, the disciples accompany Jesus. They go to the region of Tyre and Sidon, coastal cities situated to the north of Galilee, in the area now known as Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities, still occupied by the Canaanites. Matthew tells us that a Canaanite woman approaches Jesus and calls out to him, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." What is noteworthy in this gospel narrative is that it is a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, a non-Jew, who acknowledges who Jesus is. She calls him Lord, Son of David. The Old Testament prophets had prophesied that the Messiah would be descended from King David. Jesus has been telling the Jews for 3 years that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of David. To ensure that we know that Jesus' claim is true, Matthew outlines Jesus' lineage in the genealogy at the beginning of his gospel. So we have in our gospel reading today a Canaanite woman who believes that Jesus is who he says he is. Unlike the disbelieving Jews, the broken branches from our epistle reading, she has faith in Jesus. Paul would have likened her to one of the wild olive shoots that have been grafted onto the cultivated olive tree. The Jewish nation was to have been the light to all the other nations. The other nations were to be attracted by Israel's light and want to come in. However, because of the disbelief of the Jews and their lack of faith, the gospel had to go out to the nations rather than the other nations coming in. It was not until Jesus had died and risen again that he gave the Great Commission, which can be found at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus tells his disciples that they were to make disciples of all nations, not just the Jews. This was to be the special ministry of Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who wrote this morning's epistle. But that's to happen later. For now, in our gospel reading, the disciples are typical Jews for their time. They despise the Canaanites who worship idols and not the true God. They urge Jesus to send the Canaanite woman away. But here is the paradox. It was Jews like the Pharisees who strictly kept the Jewish law who did not believe Jesus. It was they who rejected him. But here, it is the Gentile Canaanite woman who is not a member of the chosen Jewish nation, who is an outsider. It is she who recognized Jesus as Lord. Jesus says to the Canaanite woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Remember that Jesus was born a Jew. His ministry was only to the Jews, God's chosen people. So his response is right and proper at this time. But the Canaanite woman kneels before him and pleads with him, "Lord, help me." Note that she calls him Lord again. Jesus gives this response to her. "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." In their animosity, the Canaanites were often referred to as dogs by the Jews. The woman is undeterred, and she replies, "Please, Lord, for even the dog eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Note that unlike the disbelieving Jews, she acknowledges Jesus' true identity. She calls him Lord a third time. She also makes reference to Jesus as her master. Just as an aside, the prayer of humble access that we will say later in this service includes these words: "We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table." Thomas Cranmer was thinking of this very same gospel story when he wrote this prayer for the Book of Common Prayer. Now back to the gospel narrative. Jesus shows us that his true nature is always to have mercy. And so he commends the Canaanite woman, saying to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And Matthew tells us that her daughter was healed instantly. So what is the relevance of the epistle and the gospel readings for us today? Well, it is this. The originally chosen people of God were the Israelite nation, the Jewish people. But after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, to be a child of God, you do not have to be born a Jew. To be a child of God, all you need is to have faith in Jesus. Faith is to believe that he, Jesus, is the Son of David, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. God's chosen people, the Jews, rejected him. So the gospel was taken by the apostles, especially by the apostle Paul, to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. God still chooses his children, but he chooses them not by their nationality, but by their faith. The Canaanite woman's daughter was cured because of her mother's faith. This is not a gospel story that should be used as evidence that if you have faith, you will be cured. That is not the point of the story. The point of this story is that any one of us can be a child of God if we believe in Jesus, if we have faith in him. We don't have to be born as a member of a certain race of people. We are a child of God if we believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God, that he is the Savior who came in flesh to die on the cross on our behalf, so that we could be saved from our sins. It is our belief that makes us out as children of God, not the color of our skin, not the racial heritage of our ancestors. It is our individual faith in Jesus which makes each of us who believe and trust in him, the chosen children of God, who will live with him forever and ever. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing us as your children. Strengthen us in our faith. Encourage us in our attempts to share the gospel so that many more may become your children. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, whose death on the cross saved us from our sins so that we can have eternal life with you. Amen.